You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Turn your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And we do honor the mothers that are here today. It's a special day for you, and we're honored that you're here. And I was telling my Sunday school class, you know, I'm glad that we still do that here in America, that we still honor mothers. Amen. I was telling them the story of Dennis Prager, or PragerU. He was talking about the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother. And he gave the illustration of his father. And his father's mother was not the easiest person to get along with. She was very negative, didn't really encourage him much. But he tried his best to obey that command. And so every night after work, his father would call his elderly mother just to check up on her. And sure enough, they talk. And then after a while, she goes off and very negative again. And just, I mean, hard to deal with. His father would then take the phone and just put it on the table and let her go at it. And then after a while, picks up the phone. I love you, Mom. Amen. He did that every day. You see, just because your mother or father are not the greatest person in the world, you can still honor them. You see, that's the first command with promise. That's the first command with promise. We've lost that here in America. It's like our attitude is an eye for an eye. You treat me that way, I'll treat you this way. And we never humble ourselves to just do what is best for that other person. And I thank you for being here, mothers, but I hope that my prayers, that attitude towards parents, come back. Honor mom and dad. You know, I think this is true, but I read, the Bible never commands to love your parents, but it does command us to honor them. That takes selflessness to do that. And thank you for being here today. And that was the nicest part of the message. Everything else is now downhill. Amen. Now, Genesis is very important in determining. And by the way, I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach. I think this is the first time pastors hasn't been here for Mother's Day. And by the way, rightfully so. Amen. He needs to be with Mrs. Treiber. And I'm sorry for the guests here that are here. You don't get to hear pastor. Come back again, if you would, please. And I think you'd be blessed. Genesis is very important in determining a biblical worldview. Genesis answers questions like, why am I here? What is the purpose for my existence? Where did I come from? Where am I going? What is right? What is wrong? And why is it right? And why is it wrong? Why is there so much trouble on earth today? Why can't people just get along? Something that's being debated today also, this question, how many genders are there? Genesis answers this. Genesis tells us about our origins. God tells us we did not evolve from a lower life form. We were created in one day, amen? Genesis tells us there is an intelligent designer for all of creation. Creation was not just many random events that came together to produce what we see now on Earth and in space. No, Genesis tells us what the fossil records are all about. You see, it shows us that they came because of the global flood. Genesis also lays out the blueprints for institutions like the family, and that's the message this morning. Society today, in many ways, have rejected a biblical worldview. We are like the people of Israel during the times of the judges. The Bible says there about Israel, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Basically, whatever you think is right, that's right. Hey, man, that's your truth. This is my truth. You know what? It's all relative anyway. Hey, it's that true to you? Okay, that's fine. And this is true for me? That's fine. Many people today don't want to be told the truth of Scripture. And by the way, the more we reject the truth of God's Word, the more God lets us live in our untruth. Turn to Romans chapter 1, please. Romans chapter 1. We'll look at a lot of passages today. I'm not trusting on my ability. I'm praying, and I prayed that God would use His Word. Amen? The power is in the Word. It's not what I say. It's what God has said. Romans 1:18. Notice what it says here. It's talking about creation, first of all. It says, for the wrath of God, that's interesting, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That word hold there means to hold down or to suppress. So the wrath of God is revealed. You look outside, you look at creation, and God says what you see there, if you're really looking, God says is the wrath of God. But people don't like to see that, so they hold down the truth in unrighteousness, in the way that they live. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. They know it. For God hath showed it unto them. There's no such thing as an atheist. The Bible says there's no such thing as an atheist. Everyone believes there's a God. But they don't like what they see, and so they hold it down, and they suppress it. Okay? And it shows in the way they live. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are what? Clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. I didn't know there was a God. Oh, yes, you did. You just suppressed it. They are without excuse. Because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And notice what it says, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. We now bring God to our own level. And then from that it gets worse. We bring Him lower than our level. It says, unto an image made like a corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also, notice this, gave them up. See, the more we reject the knowledge of God, God says, okay, go ahead. Go ahead and live the way you want to live. Gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And notice the progression. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And by the way, let's just say it. That's what it means. It's lesbianism. That's what it means in the text. And then he talks about homosexuality. And likewise, also the man, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God, third time, God says, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient. And then it lists all the things, the unrighteousness that we use to hold the knowledge of God down. And it results in verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. The danger of rejecting truth is that God eventually leaves you to your own ways. He says, go ahead. I've manifested myself to you. You just have to look at nature and you see that there is a God. But nature also tells you that we're accountable to that God. But we don't like that. It makes us uncomfortable because of the way we live. And so we suppress it. And God says, go ahead. I'll leave you to your ways. We see then that Genesis is very important. For us, having the proper idea of God and His creation. It is Mother's Day today, so that's why I was thinking about talking about the family. The first family. What is a family? How did God establish the family? And why did God establish the family? The family is the oldest institution on earth, and it's always been understood in light of Genesis for thousands of years. Most societies acknowledge Genesis in the structure of the family. It is only in recent years and in this country that the biblical worldview of family has been under tremendous attack. Now, I believe the Bible is true from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. Because I'll be going to the beginning of creation, some may say, you know what, Burpusen, what you're saying is outdated, especially here in California. It is 2025. What are you doing talking to us about Genesis? The words of God are timeless and eternal and apply to any generation. You see, what God said is true in Genesis is still true today in May of 2025 in Santa Clara, California, the haven of liberal politics. It's still true today. You see, we should not let society determine what God said. And by the way, one message today is not to cover everything that the Bible says about the family, but we'll try to get the foundation today. To build a good foundation, a structure, you have to have a good foundation. And same goes with the family. I don't know who's here. But it doesn't really matter. Because we will be judged by what we do with God's word. I thought about this while making the message, preparing the message. It is heavy on my heart. Because as a preacher, you want people to like you. This is not that kind of message. You know, but it is the word of God. And I believe it would help us if we would just yield ourselves to what God has said, regardless of what society says, regardless if it's, 2025 or not, regardless if it's old-fashioned or not. It is what God said, and what God says stands, and if God says it, it is true. Amen. We're living in a day where influencers are promoting a false representation of what a family is. By the way, and they're gaining a lot of followers. They are changing, and this is important, the roles of men and women. Some of you already, your hair stood up right there when I said roles. Don't worry, it's not that bad yet. They are rejecting Genesis and doing whatever they think is right. There's a trending group of influencers right now. They call themselves conservative feminists. That doesn't make sense. How can you be conservative and be a feminist? It's the same thing as saying Christian feminist. There's no such thing. But well, be wary of that. I mean, people are falling for these people. They said, we're conservative. We support the conservative cause, but we're feminist. Wait a second. No, you're not. All right? And so, but they're getting a following. They make fun of the traditional roles of wives and mothers. And they mock at the idea of women being dependent on their husbands. Quiet. They're also men who basically teach that a woman is just property and they can do with them as they wish. And many men are listening to their advice. Young men, they're not going to survive their marriage that way. It is the wrong worldview of marriage. Marriage, the family, and the home are being redefined. And the sad part is that Christians are now being led away from what the Bible says. It's about time that the people of God just submit to what God has said, whether you like it or not, whether you understand it or not. If that's what God says, why don't we just let it be, amen? Let God be God.
Amen.
You see, my main point this morning, God created the family. God created the family. Genesis chapter 1, and here's where we go. I hope your Bible there. God created the family. Genesis chapter 1 goes through the creation event. And several times we read that God says, he saw it and he said, it was good. Right? Notice in verse 4 in Genesis 1, it says, and God saw the light and it was what? Good. And then verse 10, and God called the day land, the dry land earth, and the gathering together, the waters called he sees, and God saw that it was what? Good. And the earth brought forth grass, verse 12, and herbs yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was what? It was good. Genesis 1:18, and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. Verse 21, and God created great whales and every living creatures that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Verse 25, and God made the beasts of the earth after his kind and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And then he comes to Adam and Eve. When God created Adam and Eve, he looked at all of his creation, and this time he said, it was very good. It was very good. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given thee every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. It was good until God created Adam and Eve, and it says, it's very good now. They have a point there. So that's a general account of the 6 days of creation. When we go to chapter 2, the first three verses of chapter 2, God tells us that he sanctified the seventh day. He rested from his creating. And by the way, it could have ended there, but then the rest of chapter 2 expands on what happened on the sixth day. The rest of chapter 2 is not another creation account. It gives us more detail of what happened on the sixth day when he created Adam and Eve. God created Adam and Eve, Adam first, and then he placed them in the garden. Notice Genesis 2:4. These are the generations of the heavens, of the earth, when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted the garden eastward in Eden. Notice, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Why did God put him there? To till the ground. God gave Adam a job to do. God also gave Adam a spiritual responsibility. Obedience to God. Notice Genesis 2:15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. That's the job he has to do. And then it says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Eve was not yet created. And God already gave Adam a job to do and a spiritual responsibility. Eve was not there yet. At this point, God did not say everything he made was very good. It was good, but it was not yet complete. That's when God said, Adam needs someone to help him fulfill the task that I have given him. Genesis 2:18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, and to all the fowl of the air, and to every beast in the field. But for Adam there was not found an help for meet for him. He was not going to find the help in the animal kingdom. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And God said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. And it was at this point that God looked at everything he had made, and he saw that it was very good. So God created the family, and from that first family come the building blocks of society. Genesis 2:24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. That is a family. It is a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, and as God blesses, children. That is the only definition of a family. Anything else is a perversion of the Word of God. It is a misrepresentation of the will of God. It is not what God intended. When God created the first family, he made them male and female. He made them a husband and a wife. And eventually, they have children. That is what a family is. And that is the building block of society. And when you destroy the building block of society, you destroy society. You see. And by the way, that is what our generation today is trying to destroy. That's why the multiple genders. God specifically says male and female. Why? That is the building block of the family and the building block of society. And when you destroy that, you destroy society. And by the way, why do people do that? Remember Romans chapter 1? They don't like what they see about God. They feel guilty about their sin. So they hold down the truth of God. They suppress it. And guess what? God says, go ahead. Live. Continue living downhill. You see, if you can convince people, it's not just a man and a woman, then the roles that God assigned in creation goes out the window. And that's exactly what they're trying to do. What are those roles? Man was created to fulfill a task from God. Woman was created to help him fulfill that task. Both of them are then to pass that truth onto their children. That song the lady sang, I have a goodly heritage. Amen. Heritage is passed on. But it must be goodly heritage. It must represent what the Bible says. Amen. How do your children know what a husband is and what a wife is? You pass it down by living the example that God has listed in His Word. What are the roles of a father and a husband? What are the roles of a wife and a mother? You pass that down by living it, by copying the blueprint that God has put in His Word. But we don't want that. We don't like that because it cramps our style. And so we suppress it. That's what evolutionist is. Evolution is. It's a way to suppress the knowledge of God. The husband and wife are to fulfill their roles in such a way that their children understand their roles in their families. And by the way, I know exactly how I sound. You say, Brother Pusin, you said that. You just said that. I mean, don't you know? It's 2025. Yeah, I know, I said it. Because God said it. And by the way, I wouldn't be surprised if there are women here today that are feminist. Because you don't agree with what I just read. By the way, there's men here today that you are, I think it's that guy Tate or whatever his name is, you know, that has a big following. You think a woman is just an object. That's not what God says here. Like I said, there's so much here in the Bible. We don't have time for one sermon. But you know what? This is not to say that women are inferior or men are superior. I didn't say that, but some of you are thinking that. You are a male chauvinist pig, Brother Pusin. No, I am not. I am just preaching to you what the Word of God says. And by the way, this is what a family is. And I understand. Not all of us have the family illustrated here in the Word of God. Some of us have parents that have divorced, or left married, or bad situations. Some of you here are committing adultery right now. And you know it. So not all of us here can say, yeah, exactly, I know what that means. I understand that. But this is the perfect Word of God. It is the standard. Sometimes it's hard to follow, but it is the standard. Sometimes it's hard to understand, but it is the standard. And when God says you live your life according to the Word of God, you will be blessed.
Yes. Amen.
Or else you'll be like Romans chapter 1. And God says, go ahead. Live your life. Read Proverbs 31, ladies. See how many times God says her household. Her household. Her household. It doesn't say her career. Her household. Who will be honored in the gates? Her husband. Her husband. Don't worry about it, I'm almost done. Don't get a heart attack yet. But I'm telling you the truth today. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, the woman was created for the man. The man was created first. And God saw a need and says, I'll create a woman to fulfill that need. Again, it is not a question of inferiority or superiority. It is a question of God's will for the man, the woman, and the children. And God says, the woman was created for the man. Now, you read Proverbs 31, and that's Mother's Day, we always read that. But notice how God concludes it. I'll read it. Verse 28. After she takes care of her household and puts them first and sacrifices for them, the Bible says here, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtually, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. You know what he's saying? Just do it God's way, and it will be worth it all. I was reading an account. It was a news item. It was a lady. She was offered a job. I think it was ESPN or something like that. It was a very lucrative position. I mean, a powerful position. But she was a mother, and she had a choice to make. Say, I have children in the home. If I do this job, I can't be the mother I should be. She turned down the job and became a mother to her children. She did not regret it at all. And that's what God is saying, Proverbs 31. I know we live in a society where, you know, basically, you know, women can do whatever men can do and things like that. You know, that gets old. It's not about superiority or inferiority. It's about what role did God give you. You find that out, fulfill it, and God will give you grace to be the husband, to be the wife, to be the father, to be the mother that we should be. God created the family. Now, it's sad that the next chapter over, you know what the first institution, of course, that the devil destroyed is the home. He destroyed the home, and it's been going on since then. The devil knows what to do. You destroy the home, you destroy the building blocks of society. But in the midst of the curse is the promise of redemption. Genesis 3:14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. That is a prophecy about the coming Messiah. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Redemption begins with Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman. If you're here and you're not born again, only Jesus. You see, when they sinned, all of us sinned. We became sinners. We became guilty before God, and we all deserve to die and go to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. But right in the midst of the curse, God said, but if you'll put your faith in the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ,
amen,
I'll forgive your sin and give you eternal life. Are you born again? If not, get born again today. How about your worldview? Is it biblical or is it worldly? The only worldview that really counts is what God has designed.
Praise the Lord.
You say, man, I just, man, that's hard to swallow, Brother Poussin. I don't know if I can do that. Oh, you can. You can. All you have to do is yield yourself to the will of God. And by the way, there'll be no regrets. Because God says so. Read Proverbs 31. There are no regrets to the woman who put her husband first and her children first. The Bible says the children blessed her, praised her, her husband also. And by the way, she also had God's approval.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.